Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's waste no time. Let's get to the aforementioned, our very own Cleveland sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. And he's brought to you at courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, how are we doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm battling a little bit of a sickness. Not typical of this time, but hey, we're fighting through it. We're okay. Could be better. Browns could have won. That would have helped.
Sometimes you got to play hurt. So kudos to you.
Hey,
now don't get the rest of the station sick.
That's always the goal, right? We always wipe down our stuff. It wouldn't be here if I thought I was getting everybody else sick. I think we're in an okay spot.
All right. But
Daryl, obviously Browns, not the most fun thing to talk about right now. A little disappointing. 1-5.
You were expecting something different?
No, I think that's actually okay. Where a lot of this lies is they lose 23-9 to the Steelers. They drop to 1-5. How much of that can you sit and sort of, I guess, attribute to the 6-game gauntlet we looked at the preseason and the fact that this is where a lot of people predicted them to be?
Well, I think that the issue is how they got to 1-5 and the fact that this offense is unwatchable. It is boring. It is dink and dunk. There is zero entertainment value attached to it. I would rather watch Jameis Winston throw 4 interceptions in a game than watch Dylan Gabriel dink and dunk his way down the field and also try and get receivers killed on the regular too, which might explain why there's some alligator arms going on. So, I mean, I expected this, but I also expected a little more energy from the offensive side of the ball. This is now 11 straight games going back to last season in which the Browns have failed to score more than 17 points. And that's just ridiculous. And somebody's getting fired for that at some point because this can't continue. If you're going to lose, be entertaining doing it. Don't be incompetent doing it. And right now the offense is incompetent.
If you had to predict right now, Daryl, what would be the win total you give the Browns to finish at the end of the year?
3.
That doesn't feel good.
No, I thought they doubled their win total at 6, but based on what I've seen offensively, it's probably going to be, you know, they'll be lucky to match what they did a year ago.
I mean, Daryl, I just think I'm in a more positive spot. I mean, not that I think this team's good in any way. But I feel like I'm in a more positive spot in that, just looking at the schedule you have ahead. Because we talk about that gauntlet, a lot of it that went into it was, yes, the offense is still bad, but you played some really good defenses. Hey, the defensive schedule should lighten up a decent amount here in the coming weeks, playing the Dolphins and the Jets, no?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a winnable game, right? Mm-hmm. But these also it's also the Browns, so maybe it's not a winnable game. And therein lies the problem. But you look at the matchup on paper and you're like, yeah, this is a game that the Browns should be very competitive in, if not win. And I have zero confidence that they're going to do that. And I think you're starting to see some cracks in the foundation. Kevin Stefanski yesterday given an opportunity to defend Andrew Berry after Mike Tomlin ripped Andrew Berry a new one. and Kevin chose not to. You're seeing, you know, Jerry Jeudy's frustration offensively come out. You're seeing Myles Garrett's frustration, which I don't know why he took the money to stay. He knew what it was. He knew this team wasn't ready to contend. He told everyone at the Super Bowl last year it was that, and that's why he wanted out of here. But he took the money to stay, so I think Myles Garrett just needs to grin and bear it because, well, this is what you signed up for. But you are seeing the, you know, frustrations from the lack of production offensively being the reason why they're losing games. They're not losing games because of the defense. They're losing games because the offense can't do anything.
Hey, Daryl, I asked you last week if you thought there was sort of an organizational divide, right? Like, if between Barry and Stefanski was there, does it feel like that's more evident that this week that that's actually a thing?
Well, I don't know if there's an organizational divide, but like I said, you're seeing some cracks in the foundation. And, you know, I don't think it's guaranteed that everybody comes back next year. I'm not saying that the Haslams are there yet as far as being ready to move on from everyone, but I'm just saying it's not guaranteed that they, you know, that they won't decide to do that in the offseason. Remember, Jimmy Haslam wants them to win more games than they did a year ago. They won three. I think they're going to win three. And last time I checked, three equals three, and that's not more than what you did a year ago. So, yeah, there also needs to be substantial improvement, okay? Did Dylan Gabriel look better in start number two from start number one? No, I would argue he looked worse. So, you know, you need to see some progression, and I don't know that just the fact that the bulk of this rookie class – the Mason Grahams of the world, the Carson Schlesingers of the world, Judkins, you know, et cetera. I don't know that that class is going to save Kevin Stefanski's job for him. So, again, you're 3-19 in your last 22, and you're not scoring points. You're not doing much. Actually, they're 4-19 in their last 23 games, and they've scored less than 20 points, or scored more than 20 points, I should say, in just three of those games. And, you know, Kevin Stefanski is supposed to be this adaptive offensive wizard, and we're not seeing that right now. And again, you know, you don't have a quarterback that can push the ball down the field, which is a key staple of Kevin Stefanski's offense. You got Jerry Jeudy last week talking about, hey, hopefully this is the week we can stretch the field. Guess what happened in Pittsburgh? They did not stretch the field, right? And so I just have very little hope that this is going to get any better. I don't care what the schedule says. I don't care what the level of competition is. This offense has not shown the ability to play with anybody.
Daryl Ryder with us here on the hotline. Daryl, I mean, you laid out everything there. How do you go about sort of divvying up the blame for what's here right now between a lack of quarterback play, a lack of offensive playmakers, and then just downright to Kevin Stefanski himself?
Andrew Berry bought the groceries, and the groceries are rotten. So I think he shares in the blame. Now, this all might be part of his master plan. Maybe this is the master plan. Maybe they are supposed to be losing this year, right? It's similar to what we saw a couple years ago when they went 1-31, right? They wouldn't say that outright that they were not trying to win, but it was pretty evident that, yeah, they really weren't trying to win, right? Until they, you know, finally fired Hugh Jackson. And then, you know, yeah, well, we really are trying to win right now. And then what happened? Greg Williams came in and they won five of those eight games that he ended up serving as the interim coach, right? So, you know, I would say this, if you're trying to win, maybe you repeat. Maybe you fire Stefanski, you put Jim Schwartz in there and let him run it for the stretch run of the season. Now, I'm not advocating for Kevin to be fired. I'm just hypothetically speaking and trying to draw some correlations here. But I also kind of feel like, I don't know that the front office is too terribly disappointed that they're sitting at 1-5 right now privately. Now, publicly, obviously, when we talk to Andrew Berry at the bye week, he's, you know, probably, going to, you know, make it seem like he's just devastated that they're where they're at. But considering they have two first-round picks next year, something tells me they'd really, really like to have that number one or number two pick in the draft.
Hey, Daryl, you bring up Jim Schwartz, which a lot of people have brought up Jim Schwartz over the past couple of weeks. Do you have any indication that he'd actually want to be a head coach? Because I know he didn't really want to be a defensive coordinator before taking the job at the Browns. That's why he was a senior consultant in Tennessee. Is there any feeling inside, outside the building that he'd actually want that job if it was available to him?
What, here in Cleveland? Well, it's an interim job, so it's not, you know, it's not like you're giving it to him full time, and then, you know, you'd have to determine, you know, if he wants to interview for it or whatever in the offseason, because remember, you have to go through that process in January. But look, I think if they elevated him, he'd do it. But whether or not he'd want it full time, well, remains to be seen. But again, I'm not advocating for a change. I'm not saying that Kevin should be fired. But at the same time, it's really hard for me to sit here and defend anything that I'm watching with Kevin Stefanski's offense right now, because it's unwatchable. It's untenable. It's pathetic. It's embarrassing week in and week out that it's this bad. It doesn't matter. He's had a dozen quarterbacks since he's been here, and I understand that. It doesn't matter what the quarterback is these last 2 years, and he's had like six of them on the field. It doesn't produce. And at the same time, you've got to adapt. You've got to build your game plans around these with what you have. And I think that from my perspective, and this is just my opinion, I kind of feel like Kevin's a little stubborn, you know?
Yeah.
You know, hey, this is what you got me? Well, okay, we're still going to run things my way. And, you know, it would be just a shame if the guys you gave me to do things the way I want don't really do things the way I want.
It does definitely sort of feel like that. I would definitely re-up on that position. Do you really feel like a mid-season firing would be on the table with this organization?
I just don't think it makes sense right now, especially if, again, privately you're sitting there saying, yeah, you know, it's a shame this offense is unwatchable, but you know what? I'm not hating the fact that we're in position to have the, you know, we're competing for the first pick in the NFL draft when we want to be able to take our pick of these quarterbacks, whoever they may be, and even though I'm not real crazy about any of them right now because none of them are really playing at a level that I think they're deserving a number one pick status, right? You know, everyone thought it was going to be, you know, like Arch Manning, and Arch Manning's been a disaster for Texas. He's nowhere near ready to come. He should stay in school another year. But I don't know that that solves a problem. I think that firing Kevin would just basically be a performative, give the fans a pound of flesh, make it look like you're doing something to try and turn things around or whatever. And I don't necessarily believe that that ultimately is going to, you know, result in a seismic shift like we saw in 2018 when Hugh Jackson got fired and they ended up winning five of their final eight games in the season. I don't know that that type of a turnaround would happen here, because the offensive line is decimated. The left tackle, you're better off sticking a trash can at left tackle right now. Your running game is predictable, okay? The Steelers showed no respect for your passing game, and rightfully so on Sunday. You don't have a quarterback that can see where he's throwing the football. When he does throw the football, he's either going to get people killed or it's dink and dunk, okay? You're dependent on strictly yards after catch, okay? And again, that just is a non-functioning, horrible offense. Receivers aren't catching the ball with any level of consistency either. So, I mean, like, yeah, you think firing Kevin Stefanski automatically is going to make Dylan Gabriel better quarterback? It's going to make these receivers catch footballs more? It's going to make the offensive line more effective? It's going to, you know, it's going to create a left tackle that can actually block something, you know, out of thin air? No, it's not. So, you know, I'm about problem solving, right? Mm-hmm. And there are a myriad of problems that the Cleveland Browns have. And at least as we have the conversation now, I don't think firing Kevin Stefanski solves those problems. Now, if you get into January and the season's over and you're like, okay, you know what? He's been here 6 years. You know, we kind of need a different voice in that locker room. I'll certainly hear that argument, because the results the last couple of years have been what they've been. And when you spend over $620 million to $650 million these last 2 years combined on the roster, and you're, you know, you might have six wins for that, right? You're spending $100 million per win. If I'm ownership, I want to know why I'm setting all that kind of money on fire, right? I think that there does have to be accountability for that. But also, too, remember when they went 1-31, they also spent a lot of money to lose. Remember the Brock Osweiler trade with the Houston Texans, right? It was like $16 million to get a second-round pick. They haven't made those type of moves here. But, yeah, I mean, it just it, they got to put a better product on the field for fans to watch. And that's the thing. Again, if you're going to lose, be entertaining losing. They're not entertaining. They're boring. And the defense is doing everything they can to hang tight. Okay, you're down 9-3 at halftime. That's doable. You're in the ball game. You got a shot. But that 9-3 deficit felt like it was 28-3 because the offense has just been so dysfunctional and non-functioning and inept. So, I mean, that's where the problems are. It's not with the defense. It's with the offense. And the guy that's in charge of the offense is the head coach.
Daryl Ryder with us here on the Fan Hotline. Daryl, do you feel like there's more trades on the way right now for the Browns than what we've gotten?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Two names, Shelby Harris, David Njoku. Those are the two I think you got to, you know, you keep an eye on here. Again, not advocating for it, but it just it makes sense to move both of those players. You're probably not going to extend Njoku. You're probably not going to extend Shelby Harris, so you move on from them. The Schefter piece over the weekend for ESPN.com, I saw that he mentioned all three interior offensive linemen for the Browns. I think that would be complete stupidity to trade any of them. Your offensive line is decimated as it is, right? And you're struggling as it is. So, yeah, let's take the guys who can actually block people and trade them. That is a very high level of stupidity in my view. I don't have a problem with the Greg Newsome trade because you traded starter for starter. And also, too, you got a guy that's under team control now for the next couple of seasons. So, no issue with that. Joe Flacco, no issue with that, just because you benched him, okay? And once you bench him, there's, you know, you're past the point of no return there. Surprised he went to the Bengals, but I can't argue with what Andrew Berry has done so far with the trades. And certainly, again, if they traded Shelby Harris, if they traded David Njoku, it'd be very hard for me to argue against those trades as well. But if you start moving these offensive linemen, I'm going to have an issue with that because, like I said, your offense is struggling as it is, and you will make the development, if this is really about the development of Dylan Gabriel and eventually Shedeur Sanders, don't you want some folks in front that can keep those guys on their feet, right? So trading them would not make sense.
Daryl, at what point is this locker room loss? Like, is it now? Is it a Miami loss that would do it? Is it a trade of a guy like Njoku? It just feels like at some point the locker room crumbles in a way that there's no trust in Stefanski. I'm just trying to pinpoint where that actually comes.
Well, I think if you get a couple more offensive performances like this, I mean, you can tell the defense is getting a little fed up, right? Yeah. So at some point that's going to boil over. And if that continues, then yeah, at some point it's going to break. And they're just, you know, they're all just going to, they're human, right? There's a million hell with this. You know, we're busting our tails out there. And this offense, you know, can't do anything. So it's human nature to see that fracture. And this is where we're going to find out just how good of a leader Kevin Stefanski is. Because being a head coach isn't just about X's and O's. You know, people, you're a CEO. You have to deal with these guys as players. You have to deal with them as human beings and things that are going on in players' life. You have to know how to push their buttons to get the most out of them and you know, bring out that passion, that emotion, right, out of them. And, you know, so all that leads to the results you see on Sunday. And I'll just say this. Not a lot of passion on the offensive side of the football. There is passion on the defensive side because Jim Schwartz gets it out of those guys. You know, even when they make mistakes, Jim's like, hey, man, okay, you know what? You made a mistake. Don't let it happen again, but you made the mistake because you were trying to make a play. Like, we can live with those, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like mental. I can live with a physical mistake. I can't live with a mental mistake. And, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, not only do they have physical mistakes. I mean, my God, Isaiah Bond wasn't even looking for the football at the goal line. Hit him in the side of the head. Like, I don't think there's a play that encapsulates this Browns offense better than that particular play. Not paying attention, probably not where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, not even looking for the football, clearly not on the same page. I mean, yeah. And again, that's on Kevin Stefanski to fix.
Daryl, it was a disappointing conversation, a very depressing conversation, and none of it your fault. Thank you to the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, you know what? They did give the city of Cleveland $100 million so they can move to Brook Park, and let's hope the football team's a hell of a lot better in 4 years than it is today.
They sure did, and we're hoping that does lead to something. Daryl, we got to run, but we appreciate you.
You bet.
Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, with us there on the hotline, courtesy of Shiving Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to what Daryl had to say as well at 216-474-0092. How far away is Kevin Stefanski from losing the locker room? We'll answer that in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volney on The Fan. But I asked him right at the end, just how far...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Far away is Kevin Stefanski from losing the locker room? And this is a conversation I feel like I've been having for multiple weeks. Like, yes, I think you can take, like, is it an 0-2 start? And do you really lose the locker room after two games? And the way that you lost, I don't know that it was easy to convince everybody that things were going to go great after watching Joe Flacco play, even, you know, 3-4 weeks into the season. I do think at some point that has to come, and it has to build over multiple years. Like, I would love to sit here and tell you that there should be a belief in Kevin and that he's done it before and he's gotten to this team to the playoffs and he's made it work, and that the guys are just going to fully believe in their head coach because it's a brotherhood and it's an organization. It just can't be true. Like, it just can't be true that it rings through the same message week after week, listening him to go up to and talk to the media and press conferences and say the same thing over and over again, is the team it continues to lose games one after another. You sit at 1-5. You were 3-14 last year. At some point, that message rings hollow. And again, you can point to it and say, all right, we were playing good teams. I think the fact that you were in positions to win the games, a couple of them, and did not pull through in that, or had made, as Daryl pointed out, you know, a Pittsburgh game that was 9-3 at the half, turned into an abysmal second half of offense as well, and the defense feeling like all the weight's on their shoulders. Something like that kind of, it makes you think that the locker room might already be lost. I think hands down, at some point, if you go through and you look at things and say, well, you lose to Miami as well, and you start out the season 1-6. I truthfully don't know how Kevin walks back into that locker room and feels like there's, you know, 53-plus guys going to war for him every single day. I don't know how you have that right now, but I definitely don't understand it if you start 1-6 in your most recent losses to the Dolphins at home. that cannot continue to happen. At some point, this locker room falls short of being able to do that. Guys have to stop believing that there is something legitimate with this. And as much as I don't agree, and I'm with Daryl, where if you were to fire Kevin midseason, what does that really accomplish? Like, what are you actually trying to do in the middle of the year? Because right now, if we're being 100% honest about it, yeah, like this front office probably isn't looking to win as many games as possible. There probably is, you know, a world where Andrew Berry and Jimmy Haslam sit back right now and are probably not happy with continuing to lose, but our understanding of it, and like, yeah, it's not the worst thing for the organization. Boost a draft pick, get a higher draft pick, that's all right. An organization that is so based on value, you have to think that there's probably a world there where you're comfortable with it, right? Like, you kind of want that to happen in a way. They built the roster that you have this year, probably not to try to win as many games as possible, but understand that you're putting the team in a position to have at least a decent draft pick, if not a really good one. That doesn't go to the lower level, though. You still have veterans on this roster looking to compete, trying to win, putting their bodies on the line week after week. That sticks with Kevin, too. Like, and that's where a lot of this, if Kevin would be the guy to go, I think rings there. Because if you're talking about ownership and a way that you have this connection with Andrew Berry is, Andrew, get us good draft picks, get us in a position to draft well and to the point where you can build the roster. If there's a belief there, this season doesn't have a huge impact on Andrew Berry. Kevin Stefanski, though, you have veterans in the locker room that are here now and will be here next year. If there's a lack of an authority, there's a lack of belief in your head coach to set you up in positions to win, well, then things sort of change, right? Like, as an organization, even if that is your ultimate goal, eventually you just can't have that guy coach the team. And I just don't know that you're that far away from it right now. 216-474-0092. How far away is Kevin Stefanski from losing the locker room? Let's go to Rick, is in Las Vegas. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, Jake. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, man?
Look, me and you are seeing eye to eye right now. And you're hitting on all the points I wanted to talk about, but I love Daryl, and he's usually like very direct and to the point, and doesn't mince his words. Mm-hmm. And he's way off here with this whole Stefanski thing, saying I don't see what it would improve or a point to change coaches right now. They need a new voice. Okay, the culture is messed up. Okay, they're tuning him out. Anybody, you know, they could bring in John Schmidt from the fifth row, and I think it would bring life to this team. Every week we got to hear this. I got to coach better. We got to play better. I'll fix it. They're getting worse week after week for years now. He is a quarterback killer. He's supposed to be this offensive guru. We've never seen that. Okay, Deshaun Watson was a Pro Bowler before he came to Cleveland. And I'm sure he will, once we kick him to the curb, he will look like a quarterback again. Look at Baker. Look at Daniel Jones in Indianapolis. It's the system. There's certain systems kill quarterbacks.
Yeah, and to your point, Rick, I appreciate the call. I think that there is, like, this is a system that's not set up for quarterbacks to look great. And it's not to say that the system just doesn't work, period, because we've seen it work. We've seen it work in Cleveland. You saw it work in Minnesota, and you definitely have seen it work here. Like, you've gotten to the playoffs. You've made deep playoff runs. You're one play away from an AFC championship. One really missed call away from the AFC championship. But, like, you've seen it work. But, yeah, it's not set up to have quarterbacks ultimately succeed. But the pieces need to be there around them. I think that's the main thing with Kevin. The part that I do agree on with Daryl, where I think maybe Rick and I disagree, is that, like, changing the quarterback, or changing the head coach, excuse me, in the middle of the season, I just don't know what it accomplishes. It might bring new life. You're still not going to win a ton of games. There's still going to be a lack of belief in the locker room. It's still the same guys that have been there. It's just, okay, we have a new guy in charge. Might help you win games. I just don't know that's the goal of the Cleveland Browns right now. It'll be shown to us over the next probably 2 to 3 weeks really what the goal of the Cleveland Browns is, in whether or not, you know, this team actually can have a little bit of life under Kevin. Because if you can't have it against the Patriots and you can't have it against the Dolphins, I don't know that there's a ton of teams that you can have it against. But I mean, I think, again, that message begins to ring hollow. If you go out there every week and say, we need to coach better, we need to play better, it's like, yeah, I understand there's more going on behind the scenes, but there's a lack of fight from Kevin. We've always said he's not really the leader of men type of coach. He's more the X's and O's guy. And he's failed at the leader of men side. He has not elevated players. He has not gotten players to play above the level they're supposed to be at. And it's why these questions rise. And I think why, very clearly for the first time, I think they have true validity. Like there was some to it last year. But right now, it's true validity if you're questioning Kevin Stefanski as a head coach. Those questions should be there. You can't be an offensive-minded guy and your offense show no signs of life. It doesn't have to be great at all times. Like, we brought up Jim Schwartz. Defense in Detroit, pretty much near bottom of the league every single year. Like, those are the type of things you can't have, though. Like, it doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be top of the line, but you have to get it to a point where it starts to look acceptable. It starts to look at least good. And understanding that that's what you build for. Like, you can have a great defense, but if you're the offensive mind, the offense has to look good too, or else there's questions about really what you're doing here, right? How much of a product are you putting out there? What's so great about what you're attempting to do and you're trying to do with the offense that makes you to be the guy in charge? Because if the X's and O's aren't working, if the scheme is not putting out a product and you're not a leader of men, I really don't know what you're providing to the football team. 216-474-0092. How far away is Kevin Stefanski?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price, so that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month, required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From losing the locker room, and your opinion might be set in stone, and, well, you might just be right. That in 5 minutes at overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Again, like, I think that is sort of the line of lose the locker room, though, right? Like, I think there is a world where Kevin's message doesn't ring the same way. And I think it's been shown so far by the comments that you've gotten out of players, by the way that they've acted. And I think if you started season 1-6 after going 3-14, again, you haven't scored 20 points since week 13 of last year, which was the Denver game, which Jameis was throwing as many touchdowns for the Denver Broncos as he was practically for the Cleveland Browns. It was not good. you were just in all-out sling the ball mode, which you're in the complete opposite of right now. But you go through and you look at the way that this offense has worked. You look at the way that this offense has failed to produce. Like, hey, it's really easy, I think, to lose the veterans in the locker room offensively who are constantly running that product, and even easier to lose them defensively of feeling like I constantly have to make up for the unit that you're in charge of, the unit that you're calling plays for. Like, we're out here doing our job. Doesn't really feel like you're doing yours. Again, 216-474-0092. How far away is Kevin Stefanski from losing the locker room? Let's go out to the phones. Todd is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
Yo, Jake, he doesn't look close to me, man. He has to know, as well as the other independent contractors that we call players, have to know how poor their quality of play is individually. Mm-hmm. He just really doesn't have a large group of high-quality players that are designed to win plays. I'd be more inclined to ask this question. Are there some players that are losing the locker room? Jerry Jeudy drops a lot of passes, man. He gets paid a lot of money. And there's dudes on that team that don't get paid as much as Jerry, and their job is done reasonably well. Now, that might cause you to lose a locker room for sure when the dudes are looking at you and they know that you got antics after you drop a pass, but you ain't catching passes. You know what I mean? And what I think that's a bit of exaggeration that there's any moans and groans by Miles. Miles had a clear shot to raise up. He knew what he signed up for. He knows that team's on a pace right now for about 4 wins, and I don't believe that a win or a loss against Miami is going to make any difference one way or the other as to whether Kevin Stefanski loses or holds the locker room. They're on a pace for about 4 wins, and it's mainly because of the quality of play, not the coaching. It's mainly because of the quality of play, not the coaching.
Todd, I hear you. And here's my rebuttal, and I appreciate the call as always. Is that, like, and you make a fair point. Like, Jerry Jeudy, is he losing the locker room, basically losing the trust of his teammates, that every week when he goes out there isn't bringing in passes, and then we hear him speak to, you know, the media and everybody else going, well, is this the week we're going to throw the ball down the field, right? You said that leading into the Pittsburgh week. Maybe we'll actually extend the field this week. Okay, well, you go out and say things like that. One, I think that's a sign that your coach is losing the locker room because clearly the guys running the plays, they're not enjoying the plays that they're running. It's not leading to success. I also think, fairly or unfairly, that type of mentality is the type of thing that also causes a coach to lose locker room. Like, it is also your job, as much as it is to have all of the players around you believe in the system that you have in place, it's also sort of your job to have all of the guys in the room believe in the guy that's playing next to them. Like, yes, that falls on the player, and it is still Jerry Jeudy's job to go out there and make plays, be able to catch a football, which he's been very bad at over the course of his career, especially this year. But it still is true that that lands on Stefanski as well. Like, if you can't keep your locker room believing in each other and believing that the guy next to them is going to make the play, well, you have real issues. And if it's one guy, if you're having team success and it's, okay, well, we're not trusting Jerry to do his job, it's an easy fix. You go out there and say, all right, well, then you probably look to trade Jerry Jeudy, or you stop running Jerry Jeudy on the field. But this isn't the case. Like, you're not having success in offense. It's not just Jerry the only reason that you're not succeeding. And yeah, when a ton of guys are playing poorly, it's really easy to go, everybody has to step up, everybody has to do better. You also need to be put into a position to succeed and to do better. Like, right now, it's just Stefanski running his scheme, his offense, and it's showing no fruit, right? You're bearing no fruit out of Kevin's offense. What's supposed to be this offensive guru type scheme, guys have to be able to buy into that and believe in everybody else in that the plays that they're running are going to lead to success. I don't think that anybody right now probably feels that. Like, I don't know that Dylan going under center right now feels that the plays that he's calling are going to lead to success. So, like, there's a combination here. And we talked about it earlier on. Like, I don't think it's just a Stefanski problem. I don't think it's just a Barry problem. Everybody holds their own piece of the pie when it comes to where the blame falls for this offense. Players individually, the coach in Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Barry holds his own piece of the pie. All of them have their own piece in how bad this has gone. But ultimately, you don't start winning games. Like, the blame falls on somebody. You can't just gut the roster. They're not going to just gut the roster. it's going to fall on Kevin. Like, he's the guy who's going to take the blame for that. And to some degree, rightfully so. Like Daryl said, you're the CEO of the team. Like, a message that is definitely true. If you're the head coach, you're also in charge of making sure that everything runs and the mentality is in the right way. Browns right now just aren't finding that. Like, I feel that a lot of people right now, their view on Kevin has built up over the couple of years, and it's kind of set in stone. In a lot more ways negative than positive, right? Like, we know the coach that Kevin Stefanski is. We know he's not a leader of men. We know it's all based on the scheme. And when that works, it's fine. As soon as that goes poorly, it's a lot easier to flip. Like, we can talk about it. Ben Johnson is supposed to be a scheme master. Ben Johnson also appears to be a leader of men. Like, when he goes and talks to the locker room and he gets up there and screams about, well, maybe this team just might be good. Maybe we might actually be able to win football games. It feels like that resonates in the locker room. Probably because, well, the scheme has worked before and it's starting to work now. And he's a first-year head coach. So you don't bail on your first-year head coach after, you know, a couple of bad weeks and the offense struggling. Kevin's had 6 years to do that. Kevin had last year to do that. He's had, you know, a dozen quarterbacks to get it done. To have one guy look like he's running this offense competently. And since Baker, you haven't found that. And Baker did run it, you know, relatively competently for like 2-3 years. And then that fell off the rails. And obviously things went south with Baker. But even then, you turn, it's like this offense still wasn't a top of the league type of good. Or much better. But you still relied on the defense for several years now. 2023, even when it was working with Joe. One, that wasn't really a true Kevin Stefanski offense. And two, it was still the defense. The number one defense in the NFL, holding you tight there. Being able to pick up the slack where it was left off. Like, I can't sit here and blame anybody if they tell me there is no way I'm changing my mind on Kevin throughout the course of the season. Because the only way that should happen is if the Browns come out and just rattle off a boatload of wins and you go, well, we saw the whole thing coming. Like, you can't make the comparison to, oh, he's like Stephen Vogt. They went through a 10-game losing streak. They struggled early on in the year, and he's just going to figure it out. Kevin's had years to figure it out. He's never had that part down. I just can't get behind it. Let's go back out of the phones. Chris is in Willowick. What's going on, Chris?
Hi, Jack. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for making it. What do you got?
So I talked to you a few months ago, and I said I took an unpopular position with the Browns that you were less than enthusiastic about, and I hated to say it. I said that because of the Browns' schedule, those first six or seven games, that whoever started the season as quarterback was officially the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
Because that our offensive line wasn't going to hold up, and it was atrocious and one or two injuries away from being the same sad state of affairs that it was last year, which has borne fruit. Mm-hmm. And I think that the whole Flacco thing, he was just the punching bag for those first. I thought he would at least make it the first six games, and then Dylan would come in for five, and then Shador would come in for five so they could, quote, see what they have before they make a decision on whether they're going to have to draft a quarterback first overall next year or not. And honestly, you know, the whole offense is a dumpster fire. They're going to – and Njoku's going to go. And I honestly think the one thing I disagree with Daryl about was – I think they should trade at least one of our guards only because those poor guys have gone through this organization and have never tasted much of what real winning is all about. And I would love to see someone like Betonio just go to a playoff contender that looks like they're going to go to the playoffs so that at least as they're ending their career that they can get a taste of what it's like to be in a real organization that actually has a winning culture and has some enjoyment in their career before they sail off into the sunset. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate you making it, Chris. Pat on the back to you. You're definitely right. He's like sending off a dog that's being put down. It's like feeding a dog chocolate right before. It's like, oh, here's what winning really tastes like, buddy. I love that. I mean, I don't want to just send him away for the fun of it. Like, just be like, you know what? You deserve to know what winning feels like. And Joel does. Like, Joel Bitonio does deserve to have that feeling. I know that I'm giving him the dying dog treatment, unfortunately. I don't really, like, I think Daryl's right in the fact that you can't trade him away because the offense looks so bad. Now, I think if you're Andrew Berry, there might come a time where you just don't care. Like, the offensive line might just be bad. You might just trade him away because, they produce value for me. Like, if I can get, you know, X round pick, whatever they value one of those guys at, might be worth it. Probably won't be a guy like Joel Bitonio, to be honest, because I don't think you're getting much for Joel back because he's probably hanging up the cleats after this year. But I don't think I would be with Daryl. I'd be very upset if they traded an offensive lineman. I'd have a lot of questions on what they're actually trying to do. All right, let's leave that there. When we come on back, Get a Grip coming your way as it always does at 9 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.